This morning I'd like to read to you from the letter written by Paul to the Ephesian church, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Chapter 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us all in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantor of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning humbling ourselves before You. We offer ourselves to Your will. Lord, speak to our hearts. Guide our thoughts. May all that is spoken, Lord, this day be pleasing. In Christ we pray. Amen. You know, vacation is a wonderful time, something that I always look forward to. Renee tells me that I have to constantly have a vacation destination to be looking forward to, something, even if it's 6 months or a year down the road, it's something that we always look forward to and you can plan and anticipate. And I was thinking about places that we've been on vacation and just thinking about why we went there. You ever think about that? Now, some places it's a little less thought in it. I mean, you go to Myrtle Beach. When I go there, I don't go there to do a lot of thinking, to do a lot of sightseeing or find a lot of historical data out. But we do go on vacations and have been on vacations when there was a purpose more than just vacation there. I know one of the first vacations that Renee and I took with the kids after we were married was to the Outer Banks. I'd never been on just a real tour of the Outer Banks, and we did that. Went to Kitty Hawk, one of the places that I always wanted to go, and see that place where flight began at that time, not quite 100 years earlier. Another place that we went a few years later was to Washington, D.C., and going to all of those historical places, actually being in the Capitol building where Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave that speech on December 8th, 1941, imploring the Congress to declare war. Being in the White House where all these great men and women had been for over 150 years, these leaders, not just our people, our Americans, but great leaders from all over the country. It was just good being there, and just the anticipation and the thinking about what had happened in those very places. And then last year, when Renee and I were in Florida, we went to the Kennedy Space Center, and that was some place that I'd always wanted to go, because I grew up with the space race, as many of you did, and living and breathing and just dying and living on every word that came from Walter Cronkite about the latest moonshot or space shot as it was about to blast off, and crying and just feeling such a heartfelt sickness when those three astronauts in that first test in Apollo 1 were killed, and just being devastated by that. It was great to go there and just to see the vehicles that these men, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Collins and Buzz Aldrin, rode in to the actual capsule and the actual capsule itself. It was great to see those things. You know, there's some other places that I'd like to go. Pearl Harbor, I'd love to go there. And if I go there, the one place that I will see, hands down, without a question, is the Arizona Memorial, because of that what happened there. Not because it's an old rusting hulk of a battleship from 70 years ago, but because of what it reminds us of and what it meant to what this nation became. Another place I'd like to go is the World Trade Center in New York, that site, and just be there and just feel what kind of power must be and what kind of emotion there must be surrounding that site, because like many of you, I watched that morning as those towers fell and just the horror that it brought about. There are events that are very meaningful and that people seem to flock to. I think about on this weekend where it's our national holiday of Martin Luther King's birthday, that the great speeches that he gave in building up the civil rights movement and in bringing it to the forefront. Now, those great words that he shared with all people, and how people, not just African American, but of all races, went to hear and were part of that because it was something worthwhile. Now think about how many people will load up on buses in the next couple of days and travel to Washington, D.C. once again to see that smooth, wonderful, magnificent transfer of power, that there is a bloodless transfer of power, that in our nation we can transfer complete leadership from one person to another, and everybody does it without complaining, without grumbling. There may be some complaining, grumbling, but you know what I'm saying. That it happens. And another great thing is that whether you believe or agree with the politics of one side or the other, it's a great thing to know that America has come to the point where we can put aside and not look at race as the sole factor upon who is worthy of our vote or our trust. So do pray, as Brennan asked for unity for our nation, and pray for guidance for our new president and all of his cabinet. Now these places, they attract people because they connect us with something important, something that happened long ago or recently, or things that are going on right now. And we all, each and every one of us, has a desire to be part of something important. Tom Brokaw wrote a book in 1998 called The Greatest Generation, and he called it The Greatest Generation because it's dealing, and it talks about that generation of people, that group of people who were alive during World War II, right after the Great Depression, and how everyone during World War II pulled together, all the way from the soldiers and airmen and seamen who were fighting on the front lines, all the way to their wives and their daughters and their mothers who were in the factories assembling tanks and aircraft, down to the children in the schoolroom who were saving pennies to buy war bonds to fund it. Everyone was part of that, and it was a time of unprecedented coming together because people wanted to be part of that because there was something greater than themselves, something of more importance than just themselves that would determine the course of history. Not only do we want to be part of something important, human beings need to be part of something important, something that's bigger than just you and me. One of the most crippling things that can happen to a person is to think that his or her life doesn't mean anything. And we've all known people at some point in time in their life who were struggling with the issue of just who they were and how they fit in this world and their usefulness. whether it's a child who just doesn't seem to know where they fit. And if no other reason I came this morning is, you know, I'm not feeling real good this morning. But I was blessed because Bryce got up here and sung. Bryce, I'll tell you that. Hands down, it was a blessing. It was worth coming for today to hear that, regardless of how I feel. And that couldn't have happened if Brenning, as many other parents, all you parents, I know do all the time, grandparents, is that you give your children encouragement and you make them feel like they are useful and needed. I know when Matthew was little, there was nothing that would hurt him worse than me to tell him if I was doing something that you can't help. Give your children something to do to make them feel good about who they are and that they are helped, even regardless of how small it may be. Young people want to belong. Why do you think that there are so many gangs in the inner cities and it even translates out into the rural areas now? It's because young people are having a hard time finding a place to belong, a place where they feel needed. And they will find that, they will fulfill that need somewhere and somehow, even if it's in destructive ways. We all have the desire to be needed and part of something. The good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, every one of us is part of something important. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Ephesians there. That same passage, John, you don't have to put it up. I'm just going to hit a few phrases there. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Ephesians to what you are a part of. He says, He chose us in Him, having predestined us, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. He made to abound toward us all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. You and I are part of something of universal importance in Jesus. What we are part of in Christ is nothing less than His work of putting the whole of creation back together once again. Heaven and earth, with all its brokenness, its failures, pains, disappointments, they are all healed, restored, and given a new start. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament describes the goal toward which we're pressing as that time when everything we consider impossible will be reversed, when even the most basic of opposites will be abolished. He says, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together. We are part of something special, each and every one of us, as we participate in Christ's work while we practice our faith. Now that job of carrying out Christ's work is an overwhelming task, isn't it? We sit there and think about it. Christ's work in the world. You are called to be part of that, to carry it out. It's overwhelming when you think of it in that respect. But it's not something we have to understand, that it's not something you or me can do by the end of next week. We are no more expected to bring in the kingdom of God by ourselves than those of the greatest generation were expected to win the battles of World War II all by themselves. But you and I, each one of us, is part of something special, something important, something that's happening. And it's happening all over the world in various places, in foreign nations where poverty is the rule, not the exception, in places where political oppression is a way of government functioning. It's happening in those places. And it's happening in our communities, in churches, all around. People are hearing the Word of God and responding to it. And it's happening, yes, I would venture to say, it's happening right here at Francis Asbury United Methodist Church. We bear witness to the work and we carry it out every time we do as Christ has commanded us. So what are the commandments that Christ has given us? Well, we all know the great commandment, don't we? The one that Jesus responded to when he was asked the question, Lord, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he combined everything up and he gave them that famous quote that love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There are two commands in this passage. Let's look at each one of them. First of all, he says to love the Lord. How do we show our love for the Lord? What's the basic way? We do that in our worship. When we worship, we get insights into what it will be like when heaven and earth are reunited. Read in Revelation at how the worship will be around the throne, singing and praising God. When we come together in worship, that's just a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like, what awaits us. We are following the commandment when we worship. On those Sunday mornings, when the music leaves you speechless, much as it did this morning when Bryce and Brennan shared their music, when you hear the words of a prayer or of Scripture that comfort and inspire, when prayers draw you into the very heart of God, these are also glimpses of what awaits us when our work here is done. You want to follow the first commandment to the best of your ability? Then worship. And worship with heart, soul, and mind. The second commandment Jesus gave is love your neighbor as yourself. When we care for others in the name of Christ, whether we are spending time with an elderly friend in a nursing home, whether it's when we teach a child a passage of Scripture or help them with their math homework, whatever it may be, when instead of indulging ourselves in our own desires, we give of our resources and time to help those who are in need, these are the ways we show the world that something important is happening around us. Now, if there's nothing important happening around us right here now, then don't be involved in any ministry that goes on. If there's nothing important about what we're doing, I give you my permission. Never get involved in anything. But if there's something important happening here, and I say there is, get involved with it. Be part of it. God has a place for you in this community of faith. The first three sermons of this new year I'm about to conclude. The first, and all three of them are very, very much connected. I didn't necessarily intend that to be that way, but maybe God intended it when I was too foolish to recognize it. But of the first three sermons, the 2 weeks ago, I asked you folks for a maximum effort. You remember that? I'm not going to preach that sermon again. I couldn't remember it if I tried. But it'll be online if it's not already. If you missed it, listen to it. Last week, I asked you to just say yes. Some of you made New Year's resolutions to say no more often. That's okay to say no to the world, but say yes to God whenever He calls. And this week, I've given you the reason why it's important to give a maximum effort and to say yes to God. It is because God has something important for you and for me. And this something that He has for us, it's worth it. Whatever it may cost us, it's worth it. I thank you for being here this morning. I apologize for not greeting you as we leave, but I'm going to take the better course of valor on that. And I hope to see you soon. You visitors, any visitors, please sign our visitor's card or the register out there. I'd love to know who were here today. Brennan, would you come and lead us as we sing our last song, or come for our last song and then dismiss us? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you have given us all something important to be involved in, something important to put our efforts towards. something important to give our resources to, something important to lift up in prayer. Lord, I pray that as we go into this new year, as we continue on this journey of faith, that You will lead us and that we will open ourselves to Your guidance. Lord, may all we do honor You.